From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. John Tifo from the University of Missouri is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about a new link between low aerobic fitness levels and fatty liver disease.
Dr. John Tifo is assistant professor and health scientist in the Department of Internal Medicine at the University of Missouri, Columbia. His primary research focus is on the influence of obesity, diet, and exercise upon skeletal muscle and liver metabolism. He is also interested in the regulation of insulin sensitivity in relation to diet and exercise. Dr. Tifo, thanks for joining us today. Poor aerobic fitness is usually associated with obesity and an increased risk for cardiovascular disease and diabetes. Your team recently reported a link between low aerobic capacity and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or NAFLD. What's the broader importance of your group's discovery concerning this link?
The main thing is this link has been shown in clinical human work, and so they found that in human subjects, the lower the fitness level, the more fat there tends to be stored in the liver. And so we really didn't know any mechanisms of action. So the most important thing we found was that in these animals bred for low aerobic capacity, that they actually have lower quantity of mitochondria in their liver, and also a lower ability to oxidize fat in the liver. And so we think this is what makes their liver susceptible to storing more fat when they have low fitness.
Just what is NAFLD and how common a problem is it?
Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is basically just excessive storage of fat in the liver, and it's really an umbrella term that encompasses just from the very beginning of steatosis, which just means excessive fat storage in the liver. And what we mean by that is greater than 5% of the weight of the liver is comprised of fat. And so NAFLD is an umbrella term to compromise from steatosis all the way to what we call NASH, which is steahepatitis, where you actually have both excessive fat storage and inflammation. And once you get to NASH, then you start to have increased risk for fibrosis and liver injury, further liver injury that can actually lead to death. As far as how many people have NAFLD, it's estimated that 70 to 90% of obese people or overweight people have fatty liver disease, and upwards of 90 to 100% of extremely obese people have it. And then we think in the whole population as general, it's around anywhere from 30 to 50%. So it's out there a lot more than what people think. But the thing is that a lot of people will have it, and it doesn't really have, it may never progress to any other condition, but in a certain percentage, it is going to progress and get worse.
How specifically does NAFLD lead to an amplification of the risk factors of obesity?
Well, basically, what the main metabolic outcome of having fatty liver is that it basically disturbs your glucose homeostasis. And so what the liver does in a fasting condition is it produces glucose so that you can maintain glucose homeostasis in your blood. You maintain blood sugar levels. But when you eat and the pancreas produces insulin, that should turn off the liver from producing glucose. Well, we know in obesity and with people in fatty liver disease is that insulin does not stimulate that effect in the liver. So the liver becomes insulin resistant. And so even though the person's eating a meal and taking in lots of exogenous glucose in their meal, the liver keeps pumping out glucose. And so that drives glucose concentrations up. And that is one of the initial progressive steps towards type 2 diabetes.
Would you describe the experimental approach you took to test for the link between fitness and fatty liver disease?
Well, a lot of the experimental approach has to be the real props go to Dr. Steve Britton and Dr. Lauren Cook, who are at the University of Michigan, who over 10 years ago noticed this link in the literature between low aerobic fitness and early risk for mortality and cardiovascular disease, and then became interested in animal models and wondering what is the appropriate animal model to study disease. Most laboratories and groups use transgenic animal models where a specific gene is knocked out or overexpressed, and then they look what the function that gene has on the whole body, the physiology of the animal. Well, Dr. Britton and Dr. Cook knew that, you know, most diseases are not a single gene mutation. They're actually polygenic diseases where a bunch of different genes are working together to create a problem. So what they did was they decided, well, let's create low aerobic capacity rats and high aerobic capacity rats by doing running times to exhaustion on treadmills. So they took animals from an NIH mixed, I can't remember the exact breed, but it's basically an NIH mixed strain background that comes from a mixed strain of rats, and they ran them on treadmills to exhaustion, much like a graded exercise test or stress test you would do in a cardiology clinic. And they took the animals that ran the least amount of time, the bottom 10%, and took those to one side, and they took the animals that ran the furthest amount of time, the top 10%, and took those and separated them out. Then they bred the top 10% within themselves, and they bred the bottom 10% within themselves. And then every generation, they would wait till the animals were about 11 weeks old. They would do this fitness test and then separate them out. So over several selective generations, they were able actually, in the end, to have massive differences in run time to exhaustion, but also they got big differences in aerobic fitness. So what we did is I've actually worked on these animals before and studied muscle metabolism. When I got here to the University of Missouri, I began to get interested in fatty liver disease. And so we hypothesized, well, the muscles have lower oxidative capacity. Maybe the livers in these LCR rats do as well. So our basic experimental paradigm was just to take animals that were basically 25 weeks of age and then also take tissues from animals that were aged to natural death to see if at 25 weeks of age if they had lower fat oxidation, liver, lower mitochondria, and then at the age of death to see if they actually had more severe liver injury when they died. And sure enough, the LCRs did.
Please discuss the results of your study and specifically, what was the impact on the rats' livers?
The low-capacity rats had more overt fibrosis at the time of death. They also had greater signs of inflammation. TGF-1-beta is a sign of inflammation. And they also had more apoptotic nuclei, more damaged or dead hepatocytes than the HCRs. As far as at 25 weeks of age, the LCRs had... they did have NAFLD, but it wasn't real overt. Overall, the animal is just an obese animal model. So it's not like the fat was just accumulating in the liver. They have higher adipocyte volumes as well, higher fat content in the whole animal itself.
Any suggestions on what people should do to prevent NAFLD?
Well, what people should do is try to prevent obesity by being more physically active and by basically eating less. You should also try to improve your fitness by... actually challenging yourself and working at higher exercise intensities. But we do know that certain people, for genetic reasons, cannot improve their aerobic fitness. But we don't think that that's the end of the road. We think that just being more physically active every day is going to result in less chance of NAFLD.
Building on this research, what additional research plans do you have for work with NAFLD?
Okay, well, what we're trying to do now is we're trying to see if the livers from these animals, if we turn them into primary hepatocyte cell culture models, if the hepatocytes that we culture will retain the phenotype that exists in the animal. And so far, that's occurring. And what we'd like to do with those cells is then, okay, we have cells from the LCRs who have low fat oxidation, and we have cells from the HCR animals who have high fat oxidation. What we really don't know is if having high or low fat oxidation protects or makes you more susceptible to NAFLD. And the reason we don't know that is when we study these things in a whole animal model, there's all these other peripheral factors like skeletal muscle and adipocytes, inflammation, other circulating factors in the blood that impact the liver. But by isolating it out in cell culture, we can truly test if low fat oxidation and high fat oxidation prevents or it leads to susceptibility to fatty liver disease. We can also test if those metabolic phenotypes prevent against inflammation and insulin resistance and just really go study metabolism without all these other tissues playing a role.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.